You've arrived here at a critical moment. Tune in on real self-knowledge and creative power.
Welcome to the Well Fit with Lockie Stewart podcast. This show aims to help men improve themselves physically, mentally, and emotionally, covering topics of fitness, mindfulness, and spirituality.
Hey guys, so we're sitting in Brisbane CBD at the moment, and in I'm sitting with Miles in his brand spanking new office.
In Edward Street.
In Edward Street here. It's actually got incredible views. It's a beautiful day. And we are about to probably release or record one of the most impactful podcasts I think I've been a part of. And I know purely because I've been working with Miles for close to 12 months now. It would be.
Yeah, yeah. Known you for longer.
Yeah, known you for about 3 or 4 years.
Via chance meeting.
Yeah. Oh, and you got to even
share
how we met. That's going to be cool. But it's going to give a lot of men a great perspective, purely from, because Miles, you're 44.
Correct, yeah.
Young family, successful businessman, and obviously we're now getting the rig back in shape and working on the mind.
Yeah.
So it's going to be awesome to hear your story about where you sort of, wherever you've come from, Brisbane, and then also like how your life's changed, especially over the last sort of, or even a bit about your life, but how your life's changed over the last 12 months and where you're sort of looking to go. So I'll pass it over to you, man.
First of all, thanks for coming in, Locke. It's, mate, it's good to have you here and show you the new office and the set out of what we've done here. And it's a beautiful day outside. So we, I thought I'd give you a brief rundown on sort of my life from a young age to where I currently sit now within the world. So as you said, I'm 44 and married with 3 young children, 10, 8 and 6. I was originally born in New South Wales but moved up here when I was approximately 11. My parents got divorced, mum remarried, and we settled here in Clayfield in Brisbane. So I then went to school at Nudgee College, where I finished in 1991, and then studied for a little bit and eventually became a stockbroker at the age of 22, around about there, so relatively young, and I've been in the industry ever since. So I've been doing it for about 23 years, Locke. I worked for one of the large institutions for the first sort of 10, 11 years of my employment life, and then decided that I struggled with the day-to-day grind, the regimented hours that I had to keep, the meetings that I had to go to. So I left that firm and went and opened up my own business. So I then sold that business about 5 years ago and I've reinvented the wheel again, and I've continued stockbroking obviously, but now run a an investment fund for individuals around Australia and if not the world. So which brings me to my new abode here in Edward Street, so which is a great achievement and something that I've been working on for a while. So
you've definitely achieved huge success, and one of the coolest things I think we will go there right now is like one of the craziest things about when Miles and I started doing some work together, you've grown this hugely successful company, and on our first meeting I was like, right, I pull out your diary, let's see what's happening, and you're like, mate, I don't have a diary.
It's all in the monkey mind.
For me, I was like, in how the head. Fuck are you gonna run a business and one as big as you do without having or knowing where your time's going to? So to me, that's just exciting. Well, that's one of our goals for you, is to show you how successful you're going to be with a bit more structure and discipline in your life.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing is, I think we should probably tell the people out there in podcast land, I first met Lockie, I reckon, three years ago, I reckon it was, because I catch Ubers a lot for work, and at that stage Lockie was Uber driving, and he was doing that to try and, what I believe, to try and get his English
level, yeah.
his personable skills better, etc. So, and we kept in touch briefly every sort of couple of months. I'd text him or obviously get him as an Uber driver and stuff like that. So, but then recently I had my second shoulder reconstruction, which was about 12 months ago. And for some reason, I've never really been on social media, and I joined Instagram. I don't have Facebook accounts, things like that, because I've never really, although I'm 44, I can't see what good can come of them, which is probably going to be, which is a bit of a contradiction to what Lockie does, obviously, for a living. But yeah, I'm not on Facebook. I've just got Instagram because I one day was bored and downloaded it. Anyway, I saw Lockie's face on it, and so I thought, oh, that's a bit of a sign. I thought maybe he can get me back to where I want to be physically. So I made that call. But I think the real underlying driver of why I contacted him was to help with my mental illness, which I'd, you know, been diagnosed, if you want to put it in inverted commas, to label. Got diagnosed with OCD when I was about 21. So had a very stressful period in my life at that stage where I was trying to become a stockbroker. I was studying 12 hours a day, gambling a lot, drinking a lot, smoking a lot. My partner was living overseas in the UK, doing her post-grad medical thing or something or other. So,
you want to get that right, because if she listens,
I'd been getting, you know, been seeing psychiatrists all the time in regards to, you know, my mental health and all of these things. So, and I saw what Lockie had been working on, and thought, instead of, you know, going down that traditional path that I had been for 20 years and getting no real success, I thought that I would try and deal with someone who was young, or, you know, yeah, obviously younger than me, but who I believe was of the same mindset. So hence me contacting Lockie. So
it's pretty cool though, like, to see, like, obviously I know a lot about your story and stuff. Yeah. So what's relatable, and like you were just touching on then, you resonated with me and vice versa, because our stories are so similar. And I think a lot of the people who are listening to this podcast will get so much out of your story because they're listening to me from my story, right? So it's just like the next gen of probably where I'll end up, right?
Yeah.
Hugely successful is what I mean.
But
so many young blokes go through that, especially at that age of 21. Like 18 to 21 is one of the most stressful times, I feel, because we come out of school and it's like we need to have an idea of who the fuck we are and what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And you obviously went straight into stockbroking and studying.
Yeah.
And I went and played footy and tried to study, but that didn't work well for me. But you went down the same route as you. Obviously, you went gambling, drinking, all that sort of stuff. And I did the same as a way to sort of a coping mechanism. Yeah. When now looking back, and you can probably relate.
You know what it is? It's trying to escape reality.
Yeah.
That's what you do. That's the reason why you do it. You try to numb your mind so you can't think.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And the reality I would ask you is, if rather than using alcohol and gambling and other distractions to numb your mind, do you think if we were taught resilience, like how to deal with, like have better coping skills throughout school so that it prepares us for the real world? Because one of the biggest things that pisses me off now, I've never actually asked you about this, is you see everyone getting participation medals and all this sort of shit. Yeah. What's your thoughts on that? Like, because the reality is the real world happens. If we're, say for example, your kids, if they keep getting participation medals and then they turn 18 and they go, oh fuck, even just showing up, I'm gonna get rewarded.
Yeah.
So that's not how the real world works.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because my brother-in-law, he's a teacher out at Nudgee, and I was actually discussing this exact subject with him the other day. So he's a maths teacher, and I said, mate, out there, you teach algebra and whatever, you know, all the equations and mathematical processes they go through. I said, but mate, you hardly discuss compound interest.
Yeah.
You hardly discuss how to save.
Yep.
Like, fuck, who's gonna? I don't think I've ever used algebra in my life as a stockbroker.
Yep.
And that's probably using mathematics more than any other, you know, business job in the world, sort of thing. So they don't teach the basics. They don't teach you, you know, how to make money.
Yeah, which is what...
Well, they don't teach you life skills, and they don't teach you how to manage your mind.
Yeah.
Do they? You know what I mean? They don't teach you resilience. it's not practical. Like, you know, the world nowadays, like, they keep up with, you know, iPhones and, you know, whatever, Instagram and computers and all that. But the archaic system that is schooling is so well behind.
Yep.
Where we are nowadays, you know, in 2018, yeah.
Yeah, you've nailed that, because I've never spoken about that on a podcast yet, so this is a new one for you guys, but... Yeah.
Well, they don't show you how to handle stress.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is fucking with people, right? The reason why mental health is so high, and especially in men, is because of stress, financial stress, right? Yeah. Mental stress, not knowing ourselves, like two of the biggest things, right? And you were just touching on, we don't get taught on how to make money at school, and we don't get taught how to deal with ourselves. So we're spending 12 years in an institution.
Yeah. And some of these places in Sydney, you're paying 37 grand a year for. Like Scott's, Joey's, Riverview, and places like that. And they fucking wheel out the same old chestnut. Yeah. Like,
and it's like, at the end of the day, like, what is going to get you to be successful is like compounding, learning how to invest your money.
Exactly, like, from a young age. Yeah. Like, I had four nudgy kids who are in grade 12 in here yesterday.
So, yeah.
And I sat them down and they asked me, oh, you know, what's stockbroking like, et cetera, et cetera. And I spoke, out of, say, an hour session with them, about 10 minutes was spent on stockbroking, and the other 50 minutes, I focused on myself.
Yeah.
And what I do now in terms of daily routines,
yep,
which create habit, and habit creates good habits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so you get set in this mindset of, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get this result.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah, it's about having processes and daily routines and just setting them up, religiously, so that, you know, you are going to fail, but... you have a higher probability of succeeding.
It's how you look at that failure. Like, if I even looked at it back from rugby, when I failed at rugby, essentially, it's like every failure is an opportunity to learn something. But I think, you know, go back to the schooling example, it's like you need to get an OP1. And my whole mentality was like, if I don't get an OP1, I'm not going to get a good job to earn a lot of money, and I want to be wealthy because I want to have a good lifestyle, da 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 da. Everyone's probably thinking that. But the reality is, if you go back to what you said, the fundamentals or the basics, keeping shit simple, once again, with personal development, having an idea of who you are, you don't need all the fancy shit. And then going back to creating wealth, if you just go back to compounding, and there's probably a few more things, and keeping it simple, you can fucking earn $1,000 a week at Macca's, and most doctors, right, they might earn whatever they earn, right?
Yeah, so $5,000.
They're sacrificing time, but a lot of them still have a higher level of spending per week, so they still might only be profiting the same amount as a person who earns $1,000 a week at Macca's, right? And they could be smarter with their money and
invest it wisely. Yeah, and the younger you invest, because it's all time.
Yeah,
so it's all time.
Yep.
Time is everything in life. Time is the biggest healer. Yeah. Time's the biggest compounder.
Yeah, commodity. You know what I mean?
So you can start from an early age, invest, watch it compound, add to it, watch it compound, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, in 20 years, because your money generally doubles if you invest in the stock market, it generally doubles every 6 to 7 years.
Yep.
So you put in, I don't know, $1,000. In 6 years, it's going to be two.
Yep.
In another six.
Four.
Another six, you know what I mean? But if you're dealing with larger sums of money, it can be exponential.
Yeah.
The result can...
And I think this is so good having you on there, because... so many lads out there are so confused. They feel like they're not on the right. And I've been there, and where you question what you're doing because you're like, is this going to give me what I really want?
Yeah. I think the thing is, and sorry to cut you off there, Locke, but this is what I was saying to the boys who were in here yesterday. I said, if you go to uni the only people who are pushing you to go to uni straight up from school are your parents.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because that's what the herd mentality presents us, and that's what society says you must do. I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a year off. But I said, generally, I said, don't get pushed into any one area. I said, you will generally find after having 6-7 goes or studying 6-7 subjects or having 6-7 jobs, you'll generally get a feeling in your tummy, which people call intuition, and that will guide you in the right direction.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So don't feel that you are, I don't know, shoeboxed into, you know, that you have to be a doctor. Yep. You have to deal in finance. Yeah. You have to be a vet or whatever, you know what I mean? It has to be something that yeah. you generally feel inside that will point you in the right direction. And you will get there.
And this is what we talk about often, and it's funny because remember when we first started working together, you did your 10-year vision.
Yep.
And all of the stuff on it was materialistic possessions. Yeah. And then we've just started addressing it again probably 8 months later. And it's completely... When you wrote it, there was not one materialistic thing on there. So it was about like good health, great relationships with your family and stuff like that. And what I want everyone listening to start thinking about is like, what do you want at the end of the day? Because if you're chasing, you know, the OP1 to get a, you know, for status, right? Or you're chasing it for to earn lots of money... Think about, you know, doctors work so hard. They study for 7 years or whatever it is. They invest so much time. They're on call. They're highly stressed. So they're sacrificing so much of their life to achieve that money. If that's how you're looking at it, once again. So I want you to look at the whole thing. So if you're not 100% certain on it, I would really recommend thinking.
Bin it.
Like we were talking about yesterday. Yeah. But like getting clear on what you do want, because one of the things for me is like, I'm never going to own a gym facility, or I'm never going to do that, because at the end of the day, like, I love helping people, but I want a flexible lifestyle. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to, when I have kids, stay at home and, you know, be there to help them grow up. So I know that if opportunities present themselves and it's something that's going to lock me into something, or, you know, it's going to take away flexibility, which is big for me. Like, it's not going to happen. I know to say no to that. And even if someone presented me with so much money, I'm not willing to sacrifice my health, sacrifice my relationships, and sacrifice my time for huge money long term. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there's short term stuff, but if it's taken away from my overall lifetime, and you can back this, is like you've worked so hard, you've raised a family, but do you feel you've put your health on the back burner in order to achieve that?
100%, and I think more so my mental health. And that's the reason, you know, why I've come seeing you. Like, As I said, I've been to 8 psychiatrists, you know, try and deal with my, you know, as I said, labelled OCD. And you know what I mean? Like, the results that I have achieved over the past 12 months since training with you have been something that I haven't achieved in 19 years of seeing psychs.
Yep.
And been on medication and all that sort of stuff. And especially, I reckon, in the course of the past, say, 4 weeks, it's that present sort of in my mind at the moment, Lockie. And there's a lot of things, and I'm starting, I reckon, to work out how to conquer it.
Yep.
So for the people out there, it is a combination of two things, is what I believe. Firstly, the thoughts that you have in your head, and people are going to say this, and you'll just say, oh yeah, I've heard it before. Your thoughts aren't real, right? Let's get that fucking down pat. They are not real. You know what I mean? And any thoughts that come to your head that aren't beneficial to you are not real, okay? That's the first thing that we need to look at. Secondly, the way that you feel right now, I believe you can always conquer your mind in the end. In the end, if you're thinking, I don't know, like, say someone thinks that they're a monkey or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm drawing a very long bow here. But if someone thinks they're such and such and they go, I don't know how I'm going to get over this, you can and you will defeat it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of psychiatrists have always said to me, oh, you'll never really cure yourself of this. And I go, what's the point in me doing this then? That's just like a big, you know... I remember my shoulder shrugging in one sense, going, really? I'm going to have this forever? You know? So I honestly believe that your mind can solve anything, no matter what, any problem.
Yep. Well, let's go back to this, right? Like, problems are nothing until we give it a meaning, right? Like, so if no one had ever said to you, Miles, you've got OCD, you probably would have never thought about it again after whenever you got diagnosed at 21, right?
Yeah.
So if it had never been brought up,
you
probably would have just left it in the past and been like, oh, sweet. Right, if you'd never been given the meaning or the label of OCD. And one of the biggest things is we believe all the labels we're given. Like growing up for myself, I was labeled a talented sportsman. Yep. That's my, that became part of my identity, right?
So
so part of your identity, Miles, and something we keep addressing is like you, it's so ingrained in your identity that you're Miles with OCD and you always, you like, that's what we're working on at the moment, overcoming that.
Yep.
But we get to choose, and it's like going to the gym, right? You got to train the your biceps to get big, strong biceps, right? And you got to work at it consistently. You'll go through some niggles, you'll go through some growing pains. If you stop working at it, you'll go back to where you were.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, and it's you'll get to a plateau point where you're like, you feel like you're over it, and something will happen, and it'll trigger, and you're like, fuck, maybe it's not working. But then you're like, I got to keep working at it. It's like going from a hammer curl to a a standard bicep curl, just changing things up and trying different approaches.
Yeah.
But for everyone listening, it's like you've already given yourself so many labels because of, you know, where you've grown up. Like, you know, what would be a few other labels you've given yourself, Miles?
Useless.
Yeah, that's common for
a lot of negative self-talk, a lot of black and white thinking, a lot of catastrophizing. Which is the way that you speak to yourself internally ultimately is portrayed on an external level.
Yep.
So if I say I'm depressed.
Yep.
That's a really, really strong terminology because it's an end point. There's no, it doesn't seem, it can't go on. It's there and then I am depressed.
Yep.
There's that comment there. Nothing good can come of that comment. Exactly. There's nothing positive about that comment, is there?
Yep.
I can't pick a statement about me and it's depressed. Yep. Like that's the end result. So whatever you say to yourself, if you can change the way that you talk to yourself internally, that little mind talk, it will change you externally and also internally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think the thing is, and that's what I was sort of alluding to before, Lockie, is that the combination of physical activity combined with mental
activity
as well, that combination of both, which is what I'm doing, or 90% I'm doing it with you, and the other 10% I'm obviously doing it with Michelle from Thought Ratio. That combination of every day, every morning, well, I train with you 3-4 times a week. That combination of the physical workout giving me self-confidence. You know, then we finish with a meditation. Before we start, we have a, you know, a talk about my intentions for the day, my affirmations for the day, what good things I have achieved in the past 24 hours. This is something that Lockie and I do every morning that we train. And I'm, you know, admittedly, I train with Lockie for 2 hours, and then we get in there, and you know, I hit the treadmill, I hit the, you know, the weights, I hit, you know, we do a lot of HIIT.
Enjoying that at the moment.
Yeah, a lot of HIIT stuff. And then we retreat to, you know, the sauna, the spa, the ice bath, and then finish the day with a 10-20 minute meditation. You know, that's really, it's allowed me to set up, you know, myself for the day and also for the week. That combined with the stuff that I'm doing with, as I mentioned, with Locke, through a company called Thought Ratio and Michelle, the combination of both those things working tirelessly every week on my own self-development is helping my mind overcome the crap that has been what I label a monkey mind for 24 years or 23 years.
I think that's a key thing you got to point out. Like you said, you're working tirelessly.
Yeah.
And for those listening in, like recreating or creating your new identity of who you want to be. So if you've got labels that you don't fucking like, that don't serve your purpose, like OCD, right? Or for me, it was when I lost my identity as the footy player or the athlete or all that sort of stuff, I became a womanizer, a drug taker, fucking whatever, all these sorts of things. If that's not serving you, you've still got to remember you've had that ingrained in your mind. Like for you, Miles, you've had that ingrained OCD for 23 years.
You're not just
going to shake that habit or that thought pattern within
It's longer than half my life.
Yeah. You're not going to shake it, right? So it's really a part of who you are. So working tirelessly is the key. Like it doesn't matter, and this goes back to coaching, like Miles, you and I spend all that time together, and for those who are looking for coaching or even just looking to change themselves, it's what you really get from a coach is like the accountability and to have that conversation to facilitate your own self-awareness, right?
Yeah.
So going back to like labeling and recreating who you are, like just start with the simple stuff. And if you're disciplined enough to do it by yourself, awesome. But it's like, do affirmations. Like if you think they're lame and airy-fairy, like you're probably listening to the wrong podcast. But the reason why it's important to do positive affirmations is because you need to start thinking in a future self or thinking as a future self, right? Mm. So one of my key affirmations is I'm Australia's most influential man in mental health. And I speak that in present tense as if I'm already there.
Mm.
I'm not, but I'd much rather have that thought my going through my head, even though it's not true yet, than, oh, you're fucking useless or you're dumb, you're not worthy, all those other things that we tell ourselves all day, because often they're not true most of the time as well.
Mm.
Right, so the reason why we do that with Miles and we set his intentions for the day, because you warm up before you train. If you don't, you're an idiot, but you should warm up before you train. You prep for activities. So you need to prep for the day.
Yeah.
If you don't take time out for yourself to improve yourself and get the most out of each day, you're wasting your time.
Mm. I think the thing is, can I interrupt
you? Yeah, of course.
Is that okay? And there are people out there who'll be going, oh, you know, I can't afford,
yep,
you know, to, you know, have someone train me,
yep,
for 2 hours a day, right? And that's fair enough. I understand that. But the thing is that you can you can set your alarm for every day.
Yep.
At 5:30 a.m. I'm just picking a time.
Yep.
Right. Get up, set your intentions. Write down your affirmations and what you've done in the past 24 hours that have been good. Right.
Yep.
Anyone can do that.
Yep.
One. Then pick yourself up and go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then after you've trained for an hour, like everyone just, what people do is they go to the gym and they piss off home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You need to say, I'm going to commit more than 1 hour a day to this, to,
yep,
look after my mental and physical well-being. Yep. After you've spent the hour in the gym, then go and download that Oak
app called Oak.
It's called Oak. That awesome. Oak meditation app.
Yep.
And go and do 10 minutes. You can do 5 minutes meditation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then you can go home, have a cold shower.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You've done everything that I've done, and you know it cost you a gym membership.
Yep.
Of 12, whatever it is, $20 a week or whatever. Yep. You know what I mean? So what it is, it's about getting fair dinkum and saying to myself, I'm going to wake up every morning at 4:30.
Yep.
Or I'm going to wake up at 5:30. I'm going to set these intentions. You know what I mean?
Set the standard. Like,
if you've got kids like me, take turns with your partner.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Take turns with your partner. Say, I'm going to do this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can do it Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Or, you know what I mean? Or,
yep,
or do it at different times. It,
yep,
doesn't have to be first thing in the morning.
Yep.
As long as you're getting it done at some stage.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, and I think the thing is, Lockie, is that if people out there want to know how yourself or I do conduct our days, tell them to drop you a line. I'm,
yeah,
happy for myself or you, I'm speaking for you a little bit here, to actually do up a daily cheat sheet,
yep,
and send it out to you, because, you know, people sometimes do need their hand,
yeah,
held all the way through the process. So I'm happy to do that if you're happy to do that, you know,
yep,
so just get in contact.
We'll put links at the bottom of, in the show notes, but you can also join the Facebook group. You're not on Facebook now, so you miss out on all this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Well Fit with Lockie Stewart Facebook group, or you can just jump on my Instagram and click on the links there and you can join all the groups, do all that sort of stuff there and find that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, but 100%. So moving forward, man, like, so,
yep,
dealing with OCD or being labeled with OCD,
yeah,
for 23 years, how has that had an impact on your life?
Well, I think I need to take some responsibility for that as well. Do you know what I mean? The thoughts that I have are not, those thoughts are thoughts that I have, that I've made. Lockie Stewart isn't making me have these thoughts.
Yep.
These feelings of feeling depressed, I'm having these thoughts. These feelings of, you know, oh, my life, shit, you know, you might be going through a rough time at the moment, but you can still make yourself feel happy. You know what I mean? And it's really hard to do that.
Yep.
But it has to be, you have to pull yourself up, notice your thoughts. You have to genuinely make yourself understand how your mind and mental health works. You know what I mean? You want to cook a roast on a Sunday, it takes 3 hours, doesn't it? It doesn't just happen.
Yep.
You know, mental health, getting on top of this, takes hard work. But as I said to you, psychiatrist said to me that I'd never be able to cure my OCD. That's completely wrong. I know that the mind can conquer anything, and you can always solve your problems.
So you wouldn't have said this, though, 8 months ago,
no,
right?
No, I wouldn't have. I agree, 100%. I wouldn't have said it probably 6 weeks ago. It's just compounded in the course of the past 2 weeks. But what happens is, the other day, on Monday, I think you and I had a watershed moment, or a light bulb moment, as I'd like to call it, of where I realised that some of the thoughts that I were thinking were because of something else that had happened in my life when I was younger. Like, I think there's always a correlation. Do you know what I mean? You're having bad thoughts. It's cause effect, effect. You know what I mean? So Lachlan Stewart, you were feeling this way because you were a sportsman or such and such. There's always, or because your ego got too big or because, you know, such and such. I reckon there's always a question to an answer.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
or an answer to a question. One of the two, you know what I mean? They're both correlated. So it's happening for a reason.
Yeah, and...
And I reckon you can, over time, if you do the hard work on your mental health, you can find that answer.
Well, it's exactly that. It's like the person who thinks they've got all the answers is the idiot.
That's
at the end of the day, because you can all... Everything's evolving and everything's changing. And like, if you question everything, like, within reason, obviously...
Yeah.
You're going to get the best response, and you're going to find out how it fits in for your life. And like, going back to taking responsibility, like, I don't feel 6 months ago you were taking responsibility. Remember when we first were starting to go on walks and talk about everything going on in your life, how, and we were labeling it under proactive versus reactive. You were reactive and fucking blaming everyone and events and all these things for everything that was going on in your life.
Yeah.
And it also caused conflict within your life.
Yep.
But now, since you've started taking responsibility, which, as a 44-year-old man, how was that a bitter pill to swallow?
And I think the thing is that, you know, I'm 44 and you're 27, and you're teaching me on mental health.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting and obviously so beneficial, but it's just an area in my life that I'd never been educated on, which we spoke about before.
Neglected.
Like, when I go and order a pizza, I don't tell the pizza guy how to make it, do I?
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's why when I come and see you, I never knew how to make that pizza.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or deal with my mental health.
Yeah.
So you know more about it than me. And maybe I wasn't, you know, you can classify it as being mature, but it's something that you had put, like, I know that, you know, you used to, you know, the hours that you would spend on end just sitting there, you know, doing all your research on mental health for years on years because you ended up disliking the person that you had become.
Yeah.
And you wanted to rectify that problem. And now you are, you know, basically handing that down to me.
Yeah.
And teaching me how to think quickly because, as we said, it's not done at a school level.
And that's, I think that's as well.
And especially, like, my parents separated, and so I only had a mum.
Yeah.
I reckon, you know, I was a bit of a mummy's boy. And then, you know, my mother's, you know, feelings were, depending on how I treated her and vice versa and stuff like that. So it can, as a young child, your mind is very pliable, permeable. I think they're the words that you're so highly influenced from the age of, you know, whatever, 7 to 15 or 12, that your mind is, you know, generally plastic or plasticine-like. Yeah. And, you know, it's important that your children are, you know, really nurtured during those periods of time.
Well, I think, exactly, from that age, like, why we're so easily influenced in our belief systems and values are adopted at that age. Like, going back to when you said strong mind, like, understanding what your emotions mean, how they affect your life, like, goes back to emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And a good book to recommend for those listening is, got you the audio book yesterday. Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goldstein, I think it's Daniel Goldstein. Anyway, just Google emotional intelligence. But when you look at that, like, it brings back to five key skills that we need to, you know, be great leaders. And obviously, workplace, but most of all over ourselves, so we can lead ourselves to have the best life that we want.
Daniel Goleman.
Goldman, sorry guys.
G-O-L-E-M-A-N, yeah.
Done, right there. Is self-awareness, so knowing your strengths and weaknesses. Okay, self-regulation, so knowing how to understand those and where they fit into, you know, your goals. How to self-motivate, empathy and social skills.
Yeah.
Right, because without having that, that's why so many of us are struggling. Like my self-awareness, when people would, you know, be around me, be angry or sad, it's like I took that on and I took that personally. But because I now understand that everyone else experiences different things for different reasons, I can now, you know, be empathetic to them, and I never take anything personal. Even if they are directing shit at me, it's like people have their own stuff and I'm worried about my own self and my self-awareness. So even when we go back to what we were talking about earlier with the negative thought patterns, I still do it and I haven't mastered any of this. So I've been trying to better my life for the last 5 years, and the first 3 years of that I was locked, like I was in Amy's theater room cupboard, like just working on myself and trying to grow a network marketing business for fucking 16, 18 hours a day. So what I had to do in order to achieve that was learn to speak to people, hence Uber, public transport, just getting out of my comfort zone. And it's like, you can't just talk to people, you gotta learn to ask good questions and listen, right? So there's so many skills that came off the back of that, and that's 5 years and I still haven't fucking nailed it. And it's the same with the thought patterns. More often than not, I'm thinking positive, you know, almost arrogant thought patterns about how I want to be and how confident I want to be, but there's still times when negativity creeps in. I've just got the self-awareness now to be like, right, I don't need that, because that's not going to deliver a result that I want.
Yeah, whereas, I think that's really important, because I'll tell you, Lockie, that the reason why it's so good, why it's so important, sorry, to have positive thoughts is because your thoughts become your beliefs.
Yep.
And vice versa. Your beliefs become your thoughts.
Yep.
So they both influence each other. Yep. It's like a circle. So
you really got to decide what you want to fucking believe.
That's exactly right.
And then you just start thinking about it.
So like, you know, when did you like, I'm a Catholic. When did I start believing in God? Couldn't fucking tell you. You know why? Because it's just something that you jammed down your throat by your parents.
Adopted belief.
Exactly. It's adopted belief.
Yep.
It's not a belief that you have.
Exactly. So, and you know what I mean? So many people have those fucking beliefs, and that's why we walk around, like when I was walking through the city, not many people had smiles on their faces. They're fucking dragging their asses to do things that they don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
But it's because I believe I need to do this in order to support my family. I need to do this in order to have a great status so people think I'm mad or wealthy or whatever it is. But it's like, fuck, do what excites you and find your own beliefs and start living them. Then the rest of it will take care of itself.
Yeah, take a risk even, you know what I mean?
Literally, fucking,
you know?
Because most people who come to me, or even when I was sorting my own stuff out, I was just trying to please other people. Everything was for external purposes. Like none of it was for myself.
I think that's human nature too, Locke. That's the thing. And that's something that I'm still struggling to deal with. It's so hard trying not to please other people or caring what other people think of you. It's so hard. And I do think it's human nature, but I think once you can conquer that, I think that, you'll be fine.
I'll challenge you. So I think the fact that it can be said it's human nature is, we've got to a sad point, right? That is human nature. Like, none of that happened back in the caveman days. What ultimately we're going for by not wanting to be disliked, or we're comparing ourselves, is connection. Like, it all comes back to human connection.
Yeah.
The reason why everyone's fucking worried about what car they're driving, what iPhone they have, what clothes they're wearing, is because we think that everyone's taking notice of us and we need status in this society now. Yeah. Because hopefully it's the right person will talk to us.
Yeah.
If you put your fucking phone down, get out of your car and just talk to people, you'll realize you don't need any of that. That's the biggest realization I've ever had. And I was saying this to Amy on Sunday. I was like, I literally don't, like, I want all those things. Fuck it, it'll amplify my life for sure. But I just want to have good conversations and know that every single person leaves with some value or improvement from a conversation with me.
Yeah,
that for me is like, and it might be cliche because everyone says it, but like, it's so fulfilling.
Yeah,
because if you see when the light bulb goes, like I've seen it with you multiple times when the light bulb goes off in your head, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now you can start living a better quality of life.
Yeah, that's right. It's that detachment. If you can detach yourself, I think, you know, Buddha goes on about it, you know, that detachment, you don't need that. And once you've got it, you are relying on other things
yep.
to fulfill your life and also slash your ego.
Yep.
You know, that's what it comes down to. It's keeping up with the Joneses, isn't it?
100%, 100%. How have you found, has that been a big challenge for you? Like, so obviously, yeah. what other areas do you feel like your mental health challenges have impacted over the years? Like, do you feel if you'd have been able to address this earlier in your life, how would your life be different?
Yeah, I suppose. I've never actually asked you this question.
The big thing that I'm
probably dealing with at the moment is, which I believe that comes back to this light bulb moment that we had the other day, is social anxiety. So I believe that all of my issues, my OCD, comes back to social anxiety, and that is caring what people think of me. And which is weird because I'm a stockbroker. So I'm constantly going out and talking to people, but the social anxiety and the weird thoughts that I have coming into my mind is all based around not being good enough. If I'm in the social environment, people are going to judge me. They're going to think that I'm dumb, useless, an idiot. And so I'm constantly thinking these thoughts about myself because I can't read their minds, can I? So it's just assumptions, which makes an ass out of you and me.
Yep.
Doesn't it? You know what I mean? When you start to assume things.
Yeah.
Ass, you and me, assume. That's what I was getting to with that. and that's what we do. I think we play games. Our mind just runs and starts to, you know, think, what's this person going to think of me?
And
that's like with a girl.
Yep.
You know what I mean? When you're young, I can't go and see her. I'm not good enough for her. You're assuming something straight away. Like, you can't read her mind.
Exactly.
So that is inner self-talk that is negative.
And that's coming based off...
Why wouldn't you say, I'm a good-looking guy, or, you know, even if you're not, I'm funny.
Yeah, you know? Something.
Oh, yeah, like a shitload of money, or whatever. Yeah. Or whatever, I don't know.
It literally goes back to that, and it's like one bad experience will stick with you for a fucking lifetime.
That's right.
But if you think about that one bad experience and go back to a girl, it's like... You may have had 10 girls say to you, you're the most attractive man I've ever seen, and one girl say, you're a pig. And what are you going to think? Yeah, you're going to focus on the pig. The best analogy I've ever seen for that is, and you guys can do this at home, draw a black dot on a piece of paper and scribble it in. Okay, so you scribble it in. Now, that goes back to the one negative comment. Now, pick up the piece of paper, put it as close as you fucking possibly can to your face, and what are you focusing on? The black dot. Right, it's right in your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you then put the piece of paper back down and write down or draw a heap of circles, right, so let's call them white dots because they're circles, but they're full of all the good things that you've got in your life and all the good things that you've achieved or the compliments that you've got. If you fucking take a step back, you can see all of that. But it's because we choose to focus on the black dot or the one negative thing, we, you know, turn our blinders onto all the other good stuff that we have in our life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So the self-talk is what I've started to realize over the past 6 to 12 months is so crucial.
Yeah.
It really depicts who you are inside of yourself.
Yeah.
And not, you know, what you think other people are thinking of you. Because no one, they're probably saying good things.
Yeah.
Not bad things, but you know, there's that default button in our mind that goes, oh, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm ugly enough. I'm fat. I'm this, I'm that. You know, I'm... work as a checkout chick, you know, I don't have this job, etc. But that's all self-talk. It's all negative self-talk, and it does create all these issues that you are having. So the more positive you can be, I know they're cliches and throwaway lines, but you know, this isn't lip service. This is genuinely what I believe to be an important thing.
It's to be worked at.
That's right. It's not I'll do it for an hour and see how it goes.
Yep.
You need to be noticing each night, checking, saying, well, what good things did I achieve today?
Yeah. And it's awesome.
And it's also picking yourself up during the course of the day and going, hey, Miles, you did really good today.
Yeah.
You handled that situation really good. Or, you know, Miles, you did a great workout this morning. You should be so proud that you got up at 6 a.m. and went to the gym, even if it was for half an hour, and ran 5 k's.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important to do it on a daily basis and try and pick yourself up when, you know, those negative thoughts slip into your mind.
Just listening to you say that, I think so many of us are so focused on the end goal. Like, for example, from a health point, you want to be feeling comfortable in your body and muscly, and because you feel you haven't done enough in that day to achieve that, you're like, well, that wasn't fucking good enough. Yeah. Or it's like, you're not as rich today as you want to be at the end goal.
But I think society's created that look.
Yeah.
It's created it with Facebook. Instant gratitude. It's created with Instagram. It's created with your mobile, emails. Everything has to be instantaneously. You see when you ring up and you get put on hold.
Oh, yeah.
If you're on hold for longer than fucking 3 minutes, you start losing your shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's because everyone has to have instant gratification.
Yep.
And that's a society we've created, you know, via technology.
And I just experienced that with Telstra before.
yeah, exactly.
Going back to Telstra, but for sure. And how do you feel now that, like, where can you see your life going over the next 10 years now that you're constantly, daily working on yourself?
Well, hopefully, yeah, I get mental enlightenment, if that's the terminology I can use. But I know that it's a daily grind.
Yeah.
But it's something that I'm really enjoying because there's so much in your mind that I don't think, you'll ever really truly discover.
This is a good point as well. So every breakthrough you and I have had together since working together over the last, let's say, 8 months, however long it's been, you've had some, there's probably about 3 or 4 massive breakthroughs you've had. And within 2 week space, you've had a fucking huge challenge come up to test that new breakthrough. Yeah. And this is, I literally was just thinking about this, but even with the last one, a couple of weeks ago, like every breakthrough, so it's probably another one's around the corner.
That's right.
And it's one of the cool things is like, rather than you being reactive like you used to be or spending multiple days getting on the booze or doing what you've done, like you've managed to get that down to a couple of hour turnaround where you know, it's fine to wallow and feel sad upon yourself for a couple of hours or half a day, whatever. But if you do it multiple days, you're wasting fucking time.
Yeah.
But and you've got down to a point now where you have your rant, you vent yourself, do all that, and then the next day you're back on track, focus, which has been a cool for me to see over the past couple of months.
And as I said, I'm 44 and I'm just learning this.
Yeah.
From, as I said, like, I don't want to keep referencing this, but off a 27-year-old, so. You know, I think that I've seen something here that I can obviously benefit from.
Yeah.
And having a mentor and having that, you know, as I said, you know, I don't look at Instagram much, but I see you talking about accountability. I think that having a mentor and accountability all in one really keeps you up to speed. But once you start this journey, you just don't, I don't think you get off it.
No.
You know what I mean? No. Like, I would be happy to pay whatever amount just to continue to have, you know, good mental well-being going forward, because it's I'm it's helping me in all aspects of my life at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you think about that, and what you mentioned before, you've got to find, for those who are looking for coaches, find someone who's achieved what you want to achieve, who's actually walked the same path, rather than someone who's just saying they have. Or, you know, and once again, going back to health professionals, not all of them are the right one for you. So it's okay to try them all as well. Like, I've had business coaches, life coaches, all that sort of stuff. Some were fucking amazing and others weren't for me, but I don't begrudge them. Like, I don't say, oh, you were shit. I just know that, like, you're going to be amazing for someone else, but not for me. But here's the other thing. And I did a video on this yesterday. It's all about timing and what we're looking for in this present moment. Because if you read a book, right? So I've got 4 books that I read every year. Like, I keep rereading them. And every time I reread it, I gain something new from it, purely because I'm at a different stage in my life and I'm looking for something different to focus on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you guys could listen to this podcast, you know, every year, and each time you're going to take something different out of it because you're going to be at a different stage in your life. So it all comes back to timing as well. So don't just write stuff off and be like, oh, that was terrible. Just be like, right, that's not for me right now. Because if you're going out with a negative note to everything, like, you're never going to find what you wanted to find.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yes. Mm. So, social anxiety, how do you deal with that?
Well, yeah, a lot of meditation.
Yep.
A lot of meditation, a lot of positive self-talk.
Yep.
A lot of, as I said, physical workout as yep. well. I think if you throw these all into a black box, the physical workout, the meditation, the mental stuff that I'm doing,
yep.
You have to get out.
Yeah.
It has to spit out some right yeah. answer, and I reckon that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
The positive self-talk and the noticing of when you are being negative, in terms of your mental awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you yeah, you know, I think that's a big thing. Catching yourself.
Yeah.
Every time you think, oh, my life, shit. Well, you know, it's you know, you need to Why rephrase is it? That.
Yeah.
You know. No, my life isn't shit. You know, I'm just going through a challenging period at the time, at the moment. But I know that you know I'll end up benefiting from this. Yeah. You know what I mean? I know it might sound all a bit, you know, fuzzy wuzzy and heebie jeebie sort of stuff. But yeah, I generally believe that yeah, if you can catch yourself talking in a negative manner and try and flip that to being positive.
Yep.
Plus, as yeah, sort of you know to reiterate, you know, do physical mental workouts on a daily basis.
Yep.
Yeah, it has to be a positive.
Yeah, well, if you want a healthy mind, you have to look after the vehicle that's, you know, running that around, which is your body.
Yeah.
And vice versa. You know, if you want to be able to be in a good mindset to be able to do that, you got to look after your mind. So it's like, we do all this other shit. We try to look after ourselves financially. We try to look after other relationships. We try to look after everything except for ourselves until you get to a point where you're fat and unhealthy and unhappy.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't need that wake-up call to do it. Like, it's so much easier to maintain than it is to, you know, do the hard work to fix it out. Fix it out. Maybe not what I'm
fix
saying.
Fix it up.
I was just watching you draw on a notepad, so my thought pattern went. Yeah. What's one last word of or bit of advice, especially to men out there, like, whether, especially around sort of your age demographic, yeah. if any men, listen to this. Like, what would a piece of advice be to them?
Well, I think first and foremost, you can win. You can win the battle. You can take charge of your mind. Right? That's what most people don't think. Most people think that you are your mind. You are not. And I think if you change that belief and then start to structure your life around getting your mind and your body as one, you know what I mean? I think we treat them separately,
yep.
don't we? Our mind and our body. I think if yeah. you treat them as one by doing the physical and the mental health combined, as I said, I reckon you end up getting the right result.
The perfect storm.
That's it.
So to speak.
Nirvana.
That's so good. Well, mate, this has been fucking awesome. I know we're going to do a repeat of this soon.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, as I said earlier on in the conversation, Locke, is that if people do feel as if they don't know what to do, they don't know how to do it, you know, more than happy for people to reach out either to you or if they want to discuss things with me, you know, they can discuss.
Do you want to do you want me to put your email in the podcast, or do you want to?
No, via you is probably the best thing.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah. So if you guys do want to get in contact with Miles, just obviously. Comment on the podcast, get in touch with me on Instagram and just 1-800-MILES. No, just say, yeah, you'd love to get in touch with Miles and I'll organize that for you guys.
Because I think I'm just I'm a normal person and I think we're all normal.
Well,
but what is perceived as a normal person who has had some, you know, issues brought on by stress that I have probably incurred myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people want to have a chat about that, I'm more than happy to do that.
Perfect. Well, thanks for your time, man.
Thanks for coming in.
Banger. I love the new office. Mate, until next time.
It's all good.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bud. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.